My guest today, Victor Kahn, is a professor of English at Skidmore College. He's written books on Shakespeare, critical volumes on Tom Stoppard and Harold Pinter, and now Sound Bites, a novel about politics and the media. Timely reading for election week. Welcome, Victor. Thanks so much for stopping by the Book Report.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
So what made you move away from Shakespeare to write Sound Bites? I'm sure you weren't bored by the Bard.
No. I'm still compelled by Shakespeare, but I've always been very interested in politics, and these last few years, I guess I've become addicted to talk shows and various things like that. And I just wanted to dramatize my feelings about the shows and the media and politics and everything that's going on around me. And I wanted to try a different kind of form, and that's why I came up with Sound Bites, which is a novel structured exactly in that, in media sound bites. It's all television and radio and commentary, but just the dialogue that we hear, no descriptions or anything else like that. And I think the story we tell is an interesting one and relates very much to what's going on today.
Well, as you say, the media is such a big part of your book. So do you really feel that they're kind of mindless talking heads, or is there something darker at work here?
Well, I think there are a couple of things going on. One, when you listen to these shows, and we can pick right or left, radio, television, any of them, one, the voices are never listening to one another. They're all going at the same time, and everybody's just trying to get in their point of view. The second thing is, on so many of these shows, they make it sound as if we're going to have exciting guests who are going to say something surprising or unusual, and in fact, everybody, or virtually everyone who comes on these shows, is eminently predictable in what they will say. And what you have is just the voices going back and forth. Whether something darker is at play, I'm not sure. I suspect there is. I can't put my finger exactly on it. But I think our culture has become so soundbite-oriented that we've lost looking at the bigger picture, lost the sense of really discussing ideas, and we talk in terms of rumor and theory and everything else. And, of course, there are no real referees for these things. Nobody's actually checking up and being a central control that can say, wait a minute, something wrong was just said. It all just flows over us, and the public is inundated with a tidal wave of ideas and words, and it's not easy to sort out reality from fantasy.
Well, Cassie McClellan is your main character. Is there a little bit of Sarah Palin in Cassie?
I think there's a little bit of Sarah Palin, a little bit of Michelle Bachman is in there. I wanted to be very careful, though. I didn't make her a cartoon character. She's a bright woman, and she has very seriously held opinions, which she articulates very effectively. And liberal friends of mine have told me you really made her a convincing figure. She's not simply a joke. She's got serious ideas. We don't necessarily agree with the ideas, but she's a substantial person. And I also didn't want to idealize the liberal candidate, who's roughly based a little bit on Ted Kennedy, perhaps. But each of them has weaknesses. Each of them has strengths. And it's the going back and forth, which to me makes the story interesting, that you really don't know who's going to win, and each one has points in their favor. And I tried to make them realistic figures, not simply cartoons.
Well, okay. Along the way to her U.S. Senate win, Cassie was involved with abortion issues, gun control, labor disputes, medical records theft, exposing her opponent's infidelity, and possibly tampering with votes. Quite a campaign trail. In your opinion, do all national races have this many shenanigans?
I think I was mild.
Oh, gosh.
I have a feeling there's so much going on behind the scenes that I'm just a member of the public. But I think we at the public have so little idea what's going on. I mean, with all the shows going on all day long, I still think we have very, very little idea of what's really going on in these campaigns. And when I read about the various suppression maneuvers and all the different things, what's going on behind closed doors, I suspect would terrify most of us. And here, I admit, the campaign I dramatized in the novel is full of incidents and fun and humor and wild events taking place. I had a lot to get in one story. But I think they're all basically realistic. I'm not sure. I don't think any of them are total fantasies that came out strictly of my imagination. I think there are things that have happened that are still happening in virtually every campaign. And so often I look at the news and I hear a line or I hear a story or a theme and I go, wait a minute, that's right out of the book.
Yeah.
And I know it's a packed campaign. Things go back and forth. But these issues are just overflowing. And I think all the issues we discuss in the book are there. If we looked at all the different campaigns running across the country, I think these issues are there. I may have put a few together, but they're all out there and dominating campaigns.
Now, is the takeaway you want folks to get from your book is that we need election reform?
I'm not sure we can ever have that much reform. I think it's one of the bonuses and one of the penalties is that we have such free speech and there are so many ideas going back and forth. I guess what I'm hoping is that people will be able to sort out the truth from the fantasy, be able to see when they hear candidates speak, when they listen to analysis, that they'll be able to ask themselves questions. Wait a minute, who's really making sense? Are we hearing logical comments? Are we hearing intelligent commentary, or are we just hearing noise? And I guess I'm asking the public and hoping the public will be more self-critical, more critical of their candidates, and more analytic, that we just don't take the first thing that's said, but that we go and we reason and we think things out and we really listen to what's said rather than just take immediate impressions.
As a college professor, have your students been as involved with this election as they were in 2008?
Well, I'm on leave from teaching right now, so I can't give you a but I can tell you this. Well, you mentioned that I teach Shakespeare before, and I teach a lot of Shakespeare's history plays. And whenever we do Shakespeare's history plays, we always relate it to who's ever in office. I've been teaching these plays now for more than 30 years. And it doesn't matter who's in office, but Republican or Democrat, conservative, liberal, the parallels to contemporary culture are overwhelming. And my students are very alert to what the candidates are saying when we talk about these issues, and that they remember Gore Bush, and they remember, and they certainly know Clinton, of course, but they remember Reagan, and they've seen tapes of Reagan and Carter, and they know all these people, and they're interested in it. They're very involved in the way the history plays reflect the political culture of today. So I would say, yes, they are involved.
Hmm. Readers, I want to let you know that Soundbites is funny and biting and the perfect read for this time of year. Victor, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.